Freedom is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
You're all a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of media?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and this is Anti-Media Radio, your home away from home every Tuesday and Thursday night. We are your alternative to the mainstream corporate narrative. There's no agenda here other than for the truth. It is September the 3rd, 2015. A lot going on in the news right now. A lot not being reported by corporate media right now. They're still on the Trump train. But this tonight is what's really going on in the world. Like we start every episode on Tuesday and Thursday of Anti-Media Radio, a few statistics that corporate media, for whatever convenient reason or whatever reason it is, chooses not to share with their audience. So far this year in the United States of America, 800 people have been killed by police officers so far this year. 800 people. 83 police officers have died in the line of duty. 24 of those have been by gunfire. 22 of those have been by automobile accident. 13 of those have been by heart attack. So when I say died in the line of duty, that's exactly what it is. It doesn't necessarily mean they were killed in the line of duty. That's 83, including just died in general, 83 versus 800. The city of Chicago, with their strict gun laws, because gun laws work so well in this country, we have seen so far 1,994 people shot in the city of Chicago. In 2015, that's just six shy of 2,000 people that have had a bullet put inside of them since the beginning of the year. 342 homicides in the city of Chicago as well. Again, strict gun laws, 342 homicides. Saudi Arabia, our great, great, oh, the great allies. They're just great friends of the United States. They can do no wrong. There's a lot going on. We could have sit here and do a whole show about what's going on with Saudi Arabia right now, but we'll spare you all that. I'll give you the quick rundown real quick. 130 executions by Saudi Arabia, the majority of those by beheading. Saudi-led war, basically, in Yemen. Over 2,100 civilians have been killed, and that's since March the 26th. 2,100 civilians killed, but over 4,500 wounded. Saudi Arabia also, King Salman, will be meeting with Barack Obama later this week. And among other things, they are about to buy two warships built from Lockheed Martin. And they're going to expand their navy in the United States. That's okay. You know, whatever you got to do. Your buddies keep giving us money. And that's how our government treats this. Again, 130 executions, the majority by beheading. 2,100 civilians killed since March, 4,500 wounded since March, the end of March. As always, we have our wonderful, profound producer in the studio this evening, Mr. Shannon Madden. Shannon, how are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. In the background, as we were talking, you know, it's no secret that to get pumped up and amped up for the show, we will force feed ourselves a little of the hatred vitriolic Fox News all up in our ears. And I glance at the screen. We've got it on mute right now just to kind of keep us. If we get a little off kilter, we start losing a little steam. All we have to do is look up at the TV screen and see all the blonde hair and all of the piety from Fox News just bursting from the screen. And saw a bit about Ben Carson. Ben Carson has been rising in the polls as of late. The GOP nominee, who is not a politician, who has no previous political experience. He's a retired neurosurgeon. Problem is, he retired or is he still active? I would hope he'd be retired if he's running for president. You know, seems like you would kind of be busy working.
He was actually an excellent neurosurgeon.
Oh, absolutely, definitely, and actually came up the right way. Came up through. Wasn't born with a silver spoon in his mouth. Is actually an example of the epitome of the American dream. You work hard and you're rewarded for it, which is as we have a lot of people that are listening right now, the working poor in this country that are having a hard time swallowing that statement. But just looking up and seeing, you know, I'd said something earlier to somebody today about the fact that he's kind of the GOP's, what was the character on South Park, token character. He's their token GOP. And, you know, I'd said that slightly tongue-in-cheek, but not so much. And as I look up at the TV screen and see Bill O'Reilly flapping his lips, and there's a graphic that that comes up about, you know, how that Ben Carson's really going to be giving liberal America a hard time because we've got one too. Alan Keyes, so on and so forth. Just more of the same, everybody. More of the same. The more of the same crap shoved into your ears, shoved into your eyes, bought and sold by corporate America. And there's so many people that are buying into it right now. Look how high Trump is in the polls. That's ridiculous.
It's nuts. For all of our listeners, we are, in just a few minutes here, going to bring on one of our wonderful writers, Miss Claire Burnish. She's going to be our guest tonight, speaking about a huge story that will be coming out on the antimedia.org tomorrow. It is another in the series of articles about Nestle. It just gets crazier and crazier, so stay tuned for that. That'll be coming up here shortly. Back to what you were saying, Shannon. It's all theater. Like, it's completely all theater. We touched on this a little bit on Tuesday before we brought on the presidential candidate himself. Berman
My Supreme. Personal choice for
You're
presidential
the,
candidate.
The guy you were
and
all
Before
about.
Anybody says anything about Berman Supreme in the negative, about the fact that he wears a boot on his head, look at that crap on the top of Donald Trump's head. And he's a billionaire. Wow.
But we were talking about the elections and how rigged it is. And I gave these documentaries out for everybody on Tuesday, but I want to go ahead and do it again since we have mentioned the election. One is called Uncounted. The other is called Hacking Democracy. Another is called Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies, the Clint Curtis Story. To sum it up, the election process in the United States is not what they would have you believe. I think, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric and there's, you know, that's what conspiracy theorists think. Oh, it's rigged, it's this, it's that. But there's facts behind this. This is legitimately happened in this country, is that elections on really any level you want to, as long as the person has the money, but especially in federal elections where there's definitely money. We had Romney raise $1 billion. We've had Obama raise $1 billion twice. And we both know that whoever the two nominees end up being this time are going to have at least $1 billion behind them. The election process is not what we're told it is. How can we have a fair election and elect? You can, it just frustrates me so much because we sit here, the media sways things. They give us these polls and say Trump's up in this poll or Ben Carson's up in this poll or Rand Paul's down in this poll or Hillary Clinton's down in this poll or whatever the case is. How do you know? How do you know any of that's true? The media is there to give you a narrative, a certain narrative. And we saw it with Ron Paul. Bernie Sanders, you don't see it as much, but I don't think Bernie Sanders is really... There are certain things with the system that he is opposed to, but I don't think ultimately he's really going to be that big of a thorn in the side of the system. We love to talk about Saudi Arabia. Bernie Sanders has come out and said he's all about continuing giving aid to Saudi Arabia. He don't see a problem there. I mean, anybody with half a brain that is trying to do the right thing for the United States of America, that's the first thing you see. Let's cut this.
Well, when we talk
among everybody else, but
we talk about issues of, you know, particularly involving foreign oil, our involvement in the Middle East, which the two of those are closely tied together, very closely tied together. You know, we talk about things like that, and then a story pops up across our desk about Saudi Arabia working out a $1 billion deal with the United States and Lockheed Martin. They're just, it's just more of the same. And you called it a little while ago. It is theater. And that's all it is, plain and simple, theater.
It is. I mean, the list goes on and on. We're talking 2 warships. We're talking 10 helicopters. That was a deal worth $1.9 billion that they're finalizing right now. Hopefully, by the beginning of next week, we're going to have a full comprehensive story about just what Saudi Arabia is buying off the United States, especially with King Salman meeting with Obama this week. But as I promised earlier, I want to go ahead and bring on Ms. Claire Burnish with some groundbreaking news that will be out early tomorrow on the antimedia.org. Ms. Claire, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Cannot complain.
Hey, Ms. Claire.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How's the relocation going?
It's wonderful.
Are you loving it?
I am loving it.
Excellent. Well, let's get to
I miss sleep, but I love it.
Oh, well, I can imagine that. Yeah, you're a busy woman these days.
I am.
Well, let's get to this nasty, god-awful, it gets worse and worse every single time we see it. Let's get to the Nestle story. this is big.
Yeah, I thought so too. So it turns out that with all the controversy over Nestle's drawing water from Arrowhead Springs on an expired permit, you know, that expired in 1988, and the reviews have been started and stopped, and basically... there's no explanation but magic for why Nestle is still drawing water from this spring. And so I doing this investigation, I came across a bunch of documents, and I interviewed a couple of people who used to be in the Forest Service, and they explained to me, you know, through their little explanation and through looking at definitions, like official definitions for water types, you know, from government sites online, it turns out that what Nestle is drawing and bottling as spring water really most likely is not at all spring water.
And it appears from what I've read, I've gotten kind of an early preview of what's coming out tomorrow, that's pretty definitive.
Yeah, it really seems to be. You know, the people who used to be in the Forest Service dealing with this stuff on a day-to-day basis, issuing permits for this kind of thing, they don't think that it qualifies as spring water. According to the definition, you know, by the strict legal definition, it doesn't seem to be spring water. There really isn't much of a light to stand on here, as far as I can tell, but, you know, I am not a lawyer.
Well, and I'm not a lawyer either, and I'm certainly not an engineer. I do plumbing work for a living, so I kind of understood a little bit of the terminology used. Clearly, if you look at the definition of what constitutes well water versus what constitutes spring water. And then you look at the actual practices that Nestle is using at that site. Clearly, that's not spring water. Clearly. And anybody with half a lick of sense or high school education can figure that out just by the information that's in this article. And I encourage everybody listening to please get your hands on this when it comes out. This is awesome stuff. And it's very definitive, too. There's no gray area here. Come on.
I mean, that's what I thought. I don't really see a gray area here. I don't see a way out of this. And, of course, I'm not going to say what else is in this article, but there is, of course, one other thing that also has to do with the definitions of water that's, I think, pretty big as well.
Okay, do you mind if I read this opening quote from the retired Forest Service biologist, or should we wait for everybody?
You can if you know. Go ahead. Feel
okay.
free.
Okay. This is a direct quote by a man that was a Forest Service biologist for over 40 years, and his statement was, "If Nestle wasn't so powerful, I strongly believe the Forest Service would err in the side of stream protection. We, and that includes everyone, both scientists and others, know enough to say removing water right now can't help but make the drought emergency worse for those streams that are already stressed to the max. And yet, in all of this, water continues to run in their pipes, robbing it from this very critical watershed, and not just in any environment. It's very sad." So the opening line, to me, says everything. If Nestle wasn't so powerful.
A top 30 Forbes Forbes company.
Mm-hmm.
You reckon they're worth a dollar or two? Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, it is, and it's really sad too because they, you know, the two Forest Service people talk about how in the watershed there are many endangered and threatened species, and you know it's all being called into question now. And it would be bad enough with the drought, but you know, Nestle seems to be making it just exponentially worse. So it's a terrible situation.
But they're drawing up, what, 27 million gallons? I know you know the number better than I do.
Yeah, in 2013 it was 27 million gallons. In 2014 it was 25 million gallons.
They cut down by 2 million. Well done.
It's a rough year for them.
Yeah, it was.
It also, that encompasses about 68,000 gallons a day that they're drawing.
68,000 gallons that the people in California that experienced the worst drought.
You could assume that the state of California, and they're at least, you know, paying for this. They're not. They wouldn't be paying like $500 a year for this, would they?
Yes, of course they would. It's $524 a year for the permit that would ostensibly allow them to do it were it valid. You know, and that's fine. That's kind of the Forest Service arrangement where they charge for the value of the land that you are using rather than the value of the property itself. So the arrangement almost makes sense, except that it's an international company drawing water for profit at an incredibly cheap rate on public land. So,
and again, we're talking about in the middle of California, the worst drought ever, where you have private citizens that can't even water their own grass right now without facing some sort of heavy fine or penalty. I think it's even been stiffened even more so now that we're going through this drought. Incredible.
It's really bad. And the thing is that whole mess has created problems as well because you have people that are so rich they can just afford to keep doing whatever they do and pay the fines. You know, so it's just a big debacle, and it seems like all the kind of big guys are trying to take advantage of anyone in any way that they can.
The sad thing is that there's really nothing new about that. That's kind
right.
of the way the world goes now.
And the millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that they're making off of this water, because surely they're not doing it for free. Surely they're not making a $5,000 or $10,000 a year profit on this. I mean, that just blows my mind. That absolutely blows my mind that they're able to pump this much water out of drought-ridden California in this day and age without any kind of penalties whatsoever and just pay a little $500 fee every year. Wow.
Yeah, and you know, my thought is really that it's not like they've suddenly sprouted a conscience because people are kind of shaming them into feeling bad about what they're doing. you know, they have not changed their practices in any way. I guess I'm kind of hoping that maybe the information in this article can put a stop in a different way. You know, somehow maybe something will work out.
And you know, I think that's all of our hope is this information makes the rounds and puts pressure on the entities that are actually able to do something to stop this. And by the way, people can stop this. They can rise up themselves and go stand on Nestle's doorstep. And, you know, that may be what needs to come of this, because this has to end. I mean, I know this is a term that, you know, if you use this term for anything, you degrade the word. But literally what Nestle is doing is they're raping the land and the citizens of California. They're taking water that these people need to survive, and they're just taking it for $500 a year and making millions and millions and millions of dollars.
On top of the, you know, billions that they make yearly internationally already.
Like, we talk
there's greed, and then there's this.
There is. I mean, we talk about a lot of scumbag corporations, and this is just on a completely different level, really. And we have, we have the march against Monsanto, but you know, where's the needed a face to Nestle?
Absolutely.
And you have to keep in mind, too, this is literally one single location, and they have, you know, a bunch of the locations all across California bottling water under different circumstances, and I know of a couple that look like they might be questionable as well. And not just in California, for that matter, but, you know, I mean, this is just kind of a crazy rabbit hole.
It seems like that. It seems like definitely just interacting with you off air and discussing all this stuff, it seems like once you uncover one rock, you know, there's 10 more to uncover.
That's exactly what happens. As a matter of fact, I was, like, turning in this article, you know, for editing, and I received some more information at the same time. So there's always something, it seems.
Well, incredible. What do you want as somebody that has just engulfed themselves in this topic right now? And I'll sit here and thank you for doing it, because somebody should have done this a long time ago and uncovered this. And you know, this is why, you know, you can't trust corporate media to do their job, because they just repeat, you know, the lines of their advertisers. But,
well, I will say, though, that the person who has done the most research, the journalist has done the most research, Ian James of the Desert Sun, he did a fabulous job in compiling, you know, what really kind of inspired me to keep going from there. Because it seemed like, you know, once I looked into what he'd written and what he'd talked about, then I started opening doors and finding all sorts of little tidbits here and there. So, but what? I want more than anything for basically the same thing as what the Forest Service people told me, that ultimately, if Nestle were drawing surplus water, it might be less questionable. But we don't even know that there is any surplus water, and, you know, I'd have to throw that in there, but obviously there isn't. They just want a big corporation to take responsibility and be a steward of the land like they were supposed to be under the deal of the permit in the first place. So, ostensibly, they would be told to stop drawing water from this site. It's causing this controversy, and it obviously hurts the ecosystem in the area. I mean, this is just bad.
It's terrible, and I hope for everybody that's out there listening right now, please go look up this article tomorrow as soon as it comes out. And for anybody that, you know, is listening to this later on YouTube on a replay, go right now, Google Claire Burnish, Nestle Anti-Media, and look at this information.
And read the previous stories, too. This is an incredible story. And again, it's amazing to me, or maybe not so much, that the whole entire country is not talking about this right now. And one of the reasons, and Ms. Claire has already experienced this, there are, well, actually more than one reason, there's several really good reasons why the American public is not even hearing about this right now.
That is absolutely
true. Can I get an amen?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's, you know, the censorship is alive and well, apparently.
Absolutely, it is.
and living in Miami, Florida. Mm-hmm. Oh, my favorite.
Very quarters. Nice this time of year. Yeah. It's nice every time of year there. Yeah.
But I tell you what, Claire, thank you so, so much for calling in tonight and getting everybody the rundown on what's going on. Hope everything is going fantastic for you up in Pontiac, and hopefully tomorrow we'll be turning some heads, and, you know, by the time we talk next week, hopefully there'll be a lot more to report.
Should be interesting.
It should.
Thank you very much. You both have a good night.
Yes, ma'am. You too.
Night, Miss Claire.
Bye.
Bye. Just looking up, I noticed that Fox News is talking about Tom Brady's balls. Real news. Yeah, real news.
Yeah, he's not suspended anymore.
I'm just so disappointed to look up at the TV screen and not see somebody with
balls. And here's the thing. Here's the deal with that, real quick. If ESPN covers that all day, I don't have a problem with that. Because that's what ESPN does. But when you talk about MSNBC, CNN, and Fox covering that, really? That's what you have to talk about?
Yeah, balls.
We literally have...
balls.
There's been 800 people killed by police so far in this country. 800. This year. And we're talking...
about Tom Brady's balls. Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Hey, at least he got off. See what I did there?
That was clever.
Oh, thank you.
Quite clever. Quite a few topics to run down. I tell you what, before I get to the headlines, I want us to dive into a story that centers around the infamous Area 51. But this story has nothing to do with aliens or conspiracy or David Icke or lizard people or whatever. This is legit. The land surrounding Area 51. There is a family that lives super, super close by in Nevada by the name of the Shahan family, and they run the Groom Mine. And the government has been putting pressure on them since the 1950s, since the Air Force opened Area 51, which, of course, they didn't admit it exists till just a few years ago. But, you know, they were doing tests on the U-2 spy planes, and, you know, it exists. So they bombed the property in the 50s. The people have to go through checkpoints to get to their house. And now the government has said, we're just going to confiscate your land, period. We're going to offer you, they said, we'll offer you $5.2 million for it, which they said doesn't even cover the cost of anything in the mine. Or... we're just going to take it from you on September the 10th. And the family has been quiet for six decades now over this. And because they're within days, 7 days of having their property taken from them, they've finally spoken out. But I tell you what, let's go ahead and take a call real quick from area code 708. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hello, guys. I'm Leo. I'm calling from Illinois. I just saw, actually, the first time I'm hearing you on the radio. I always follow you on Facebook.
Fantastic. Really like Thank you.
I really like what you guys do. I totally agree with that. I'm very informed about the situation of the immigrant because I just moved from Europe in Illinois about a month ago. And I think it's not a new situation, this one, because it happened like 2 months or 3 months ago with the immigrants from Libya to Italy, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And actually, I just want to tell you another like story that happened like in 97. There was a ship with immigrants from Albania to Italy. More than 200 people in Albania at the time was a civil war. Actually, not a real civil war, but it was people against the banks and the government. And
we're having just a little bit of difficulty understanding you, just to clarify. So we've got 200 people traveling from Albania to Italy in 1997.
Yeah.
Okay.
1997, and there was a ship going in Italy. Where, that ship was more than 200 people, and in the middle of the sea, when the ship was crossing the sea, there was an Italian ship that hit the ship with Albanians, and they just drowned in the water. There was like more 200 people that died. And the, I want to tell you right now is that the situation is not new. What's happening now happened a lot of years ago, and I think it will happen again. And I totally agree that you guys have to, everybody makes have to make the, this thing more popular, even in America.
It's true, and I think a lot of people in the United States, I think the majority of people, you know, they don't realize what's going on. They focus more on immigration from you know, Mexico and Europe. It's obviously something that, that the nations have to deal with a lot more. But the thing that, that's frustrating to me is that the citizens of these countries are just like, oh, we don't come in our country, don't come in our country. And meanwhile, it, it's these people that live in these countries are the reason that everyone's having to flee to begin with. And it's not the specific people, but it's the politicians they elected. It's the policies that have been implemented. And these countries are war-torn. And I guarantee you that all these people that are so against, you know, refugees coming over, if they were put in the same position, they would be doing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And again, yeah. You know, I think that a lot of people in modern-day America have also forgotten about the immigrants that came over in the 1800s and 1900s that have went on to make this country as great as it was, particularly in and around the 50s after World War II. After World War II, we were the greatest country in the world for a good long stretch of time. Now, not so much. And, of course, a lot of things that went on in the 50s, and well, that's when you started seeing the government acting in a much more subversive fashion. And we're starting to pretty much reap the awful, you know, seeds that were sown back then as well. Particularly with you know, the people's, you know, general view on American government right now. The American government is not popular, not just here in America, but everywhere. Wonder why that is.
Which?
Sorry, I didn't hear that. The last one.
Oh, I'm just saying that, you know, the American government is very unpopular throughout the whole entire world.
Yeah.
We're really talking more about Western nations than just the United States.
I want to share with you like a point of view that maybe you guys do not know because you haven't lived in another country that is not America. But America and the government has the best marketing in the world because they sell themselves like they're too good and that like everybody wants to come in America. But once you're here, everything is different. Maybe you didn't experience that, but it's like this, you know. If you meet people in Europe or in other countries, everybody thinks that the American dream is alive and they want to come in America. But they don't know what really happens and what really America do.
Wow, that's really heavy, you know, because, you know, we do have so many people from around the world that look, you know, to the United States as a beacon of freedom and the American dream, and they can come here and prosper and make a better life for themselves. And I think, as the caller said, definitely that, you know, that's a PR thing that has been sold. And I think at one point it was true.
Yeah, I absolutely do. I really do.
But now, you know, that's really unnerving to think that somebody that has come here, you know, in searching out that dream has found out it was just PR. And it's
smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you, thank you so, so much for calling in tonight. Absolute fantastic call. And
thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to Anti-Media Radio. That was a great call, and I mean, really, that was very eye-opening. Somebody that...
And of course, now, let's be fair, and let's play devil's advocate, the first thing that we would hear out of particularly the hard right, the conservatives in this country, well, I mean, you know, if he don't like it, he don't believe the American dream's alive, then he just need to go back to wherever he came from. And you know,
that's what they tell people that have lived here their entire life.
Absolutely. You know, what we're dealing with right now with, you know, immigrants who have come up from Mexico and they've actually set roots down here. They pay taxes. They own property. They pretty much participate in all the trappings of the American dream. And are you know, sneered and have stones thrown at them daily from the Donald Trumps of the world.
That's it.
To go back to your own country. Well, people are forgetting what made this country so great to begin with, and that was the diversity that existed here, the inclusion of everyone, man, woman, and child. If you want to work, come on over here because we got a job for you, and you can help make this country great, and this country will make you great in the process. And that's it's a lie. In 2015, it's a lie. You can work your fingers to the bone, and you will be poor your whole entire life unless you learn how to play the game that the system has set into place and get completely plugged in, get your little flag out, start waving it, and God bless the USA. And look, and I'm all for God bless the USA because God is so far removed from what the United States government is giving its people right now. This is not what we paid for, and this is not the system that our founding fathers have set into place. This is what they ran from. What we see in 2015
I think it's far worse.
Absolutely.
I think it's far worse than what we've run from. And you know, that's not to say that everything they set up was perfect and these people were perfect, because they weren't. But, you know, I think for a while, and that's even really hard to say too, because you have to remember that we were a nation that you know, had slavery in it for a long time. So when you say all people are created equal, I think that, you know, you have to believe all people, like, period, all people are created equal. And, you know, I think there's some gray areas there, but at the same time, I think it's very interesting that the caller mentions it's not what they're told. It's not what anybody's told. Nothing's what anybody is told.
Well, and you know, why just go ahead and subjugate one small percentage of the people when you could subversively enslave them all? And that's
I think that is what we're seeing.
And that's why a lot of these divisions are still set up into place.
And you can't, but see, you can't, it's a very complicated thing in one aspect, because Federal Reserve has gone a long way in enslaving the American citizen, and they don't even realize it, because we sit here and we have somebody like Bernie Sanders stand up and like, oh, minimum wage, let's fix the minimum wage. Oh, it's all about the minimum wage. And yes, it is, kind of, but it's not, because you want the minimum wage to be a Band-Aid on the solution. So what you're projecting is, okay, let's raise the minimum wage. First off, half the jobs, people are going to lose hours, and you're probably going to lose your job, but whatever. So they raise it, and then in 10 more years, after inflation keeps going and keeps going and keeps going, you're going to have to raise the minimum wage again. There's never a solution if you just say, we want to raise the minimum wage. There's no answer. The answer is to bring down the inflation. The dollar has dropped by 97-98% since the Federal Reserve was established in 1913. This is very important. Very, very important that people realize that they need to stop putting a Band-Aid on the situation and saying, we'll just raise the minimum wage. That's not going to fix anything. It's going to fix it today, but tomorrow you're going to have the exact same problem again.
And, you know, the minimum wage, for those of you who weren't paying attention to what he just said, to dumb it down for you, the minimum wage essentially has now become a new economic barometer. So, you know, yeah, we're going to have to raise the minimum wage at some point in time to $10 an hour, because that's how little our American dollar is worth. At one point in time in this country's great history, you could work the minimum wage and still make enough to be able to support yourself, put clothes on your back, a roof over your head, and now you can't do that. And even if you do raise the minimum wage to $10, somebody making $10 an hour cannot support themselves. Do the math.
They can't.
Do the math and then start adding all of the things up that you have to take care of living in modern-day 2015 America. The health insurance, which is now required by federal law. Yeah, that was a great idea. car insurance, keeping up with your car, keeping gas in your car, keeping food in your mouth, clothes on your back. Everybody's got to have a cell phone. We've got to watch cable TV. We've got to, you know, if you have children, you have to put the children in school, and you got to clothe the children, and you got to feed the children, and you got to have a roof over your head. I mean, that's what every self-respecting person has. So you start adding all of these things up, and by the time it's all said and done, you're talking about, and we're talking about having the liability insurance, not the full coverage. We're talking about living in a crappy apartment somewhere. I mean, at the bare minimum, and particularly if you live near a major metropolitan area, which is where a lot of the work is for a lot of folks, you know, you're talking about $10 an hour doesn't even isn't even a drop in the bucket. $10 an hour is just about enough to get you to work and get you clothes for your uniform, and you know, probably buy some lunch and you know, maybe a soda on the way home, and that's pretty much about it. You know, it's there's so many things that it doesn't cover, which are now have become in 2015 almost necessities.
Okay, you know? So this is something I wanted to kind of point out to prove my point that the minimum wage argument is really, it's not going to do anything to fix or solve the problem. In 1980, which is 25 years ago, most of our listeners, or 35 years ago, I can't do math, 35 years ago, most of our listeners probably, you know, 35, a little bit younger. The minimum wage right now is $7.25. In 1980, the minimum wage, that's equivalent to $21. $7.25, 35 years ago, is $21 in 1980. Like, that's how much the dollar has just been decimated. Decimated. And everybody thinks, well, raise the minimum wage, it'll fix it. No, it's just going to make things worse. Because what are you going to do? You're going to eventually get to the point where you have to have a minimum wage. You know, this is going to go up and up and up. But what people do not realize is that the cost of living, your minimum wage and what you bring in financially does not keep up with inflation, because if it did, you would all be making $21 an hour, and that's minimum wage.
And if you think about it, $21 an hour, or around $20 an hour in 2015, is about what it takes roughly, maybe a little less than that, takes roughly to be able to cover just the bare minimum and have just a few little pennies left over for savings on a monthly basis. You can do the math at home and figure your own finances into it. And, you know, maybe some of you could get along with $15 an hour, but how many people that are listening to this broadcast right now are getting paid $15, $20 an hour in 2015 money?
So I'll tell you this. Anybody, whoever the politician is, I don't care. If they say that they want to fix the economy and the Federal Reserve is not one of the first five words out of their mouth, or inflation is not basically, you know, one of the first five words out of their mouth, they're not here to help you. They're here to keep the system going as is. They don't care about the problem. They don't care about you. And they're either a crook, thief, horrible human being trying to take you for everything you have, or they're a moron. It could go either way. They could be a genuine person. I'm not saying they're not genuine if they don't talk about it. They're just really stupid. Either way, they're nobody you should vote for.
Right.
Okay. I want to get back real quick to the Shahan family. Just touch on it real fast before we move on. Shane, what are your thoughts about the situation in Nevada right now and this family losing their land?
Well, and again, I don't know if we went all the way completely through the you know, the whole entire story. These people who, you know, the Cheyenne family who live adjacent to Area 51, who have this mine that they're able to pull lead and silver out of, they have claimed that the Air Force has attacked them, pretty much had a missiles fired to them from aircraft.
They're directly next door to Area 51, so that's feasible.
Actually, unsuccessfully tried to sue the United States government for destroying a mill that was on their property. Now, if a private citizen had crashed their car into that mill, then I'm pretty sure that they would have gotten compensated. But this was the United States government firing a rocket at them. Wow. You know, and again, we talk about government involvement and government intrusion, and their land is basically essentially being seized right now, or in the process of. The Air Force has done everything that they possibly can, up to and including basically obtaining all of the land around them. They have to go through military checkpoints in order to get on or leave their property. So they have to, and imagine that, if you're just driving home in the street that you live on, every single day that you drive down that street to go to your house, you're going to be stopped by not just the police. We're talking about military with the tanks and armed machine guns. What are you doing on this property? Well, I own this property. And then you've got to state your business just to be able to get onto your own property and go through pretty much a pat down, and we're going to search your vehicle and yada, yada, this, that, and the other. You know, they've tried to have business partners that have wanted to come and help them on the mine or actually, you know, get involved with the mine that have been dissuaded by the United States government. And this has been going on for these people for 60 years. 60 years.
Said it ruined their grandparents, ruined their family because of the mine. It's basically not working now because, you know, it's been bombed out.
And yet again, if the government wants it or if the government deems it necessary, they can just snatch it from you. The land of the free.
This, they got 7 days.
This is what our caller was talking about a moment ago. This is not, there's the, our freedoms have not just quietly, I mean just rapidly in the headlines, eroded right before our eyes, and nobody cares.
I think there's people that care, but I think people are being deceived because I think, okay.
I think if people cared enough, it wouldn't be going on right now.
I think people are being, I think people are naive and they've been deceived, and it's time that you believe the truth. That's what I think needs to happen, because I think you see somebody like Trump first in the polls, Ben Carson second in the polls. What do those two people have in common is that neither one of them have held political office. You know, they're the two non-politicians running. So I think there is a frustration in this country that people are sick of what's going on, but they can't locate the problems because there's so much deception out there. The media is keeping everybody spinning around five different ways so they don't know which way is up or down. The politicians are certainly there to do that. And this is why I think alternative media right now is very important, because this is a time when not only Americans, but people all around the world, whatever country you live in, wherever you're from, to really pay attention to what is happening in the world. We can't take the word of the people trying to deceive us any longer. We're awake now for the most part. We know that you're lying to us. So why would anybody keep believing the people that are lying to them? And that's where we're at. You get so many people talk about Fox News, MSNBC, CNN. I just don't trust me anymore. You know, I think they've got an agenda. And they'll tell you that. They tell you that they don't believe it. And then a story will come up on one of those channels, but, you know, that's where they get their information from. They don't believe the media, but that's where all their info comes from. And I think, too, it is a responsibility of the alternative media to do responsible reporting. I think there are, I won't name any names here, but I think there, you know, are certain people in alternative media that just go way far out crazy, and that's not doing anybody any favors either. I think we need to stay on track with the message and get people real vital information, because that's what we need as a society to survive. We have been pulled and tugged away from the truth, and it's asinine what they've done to people, and people have allowed themselves to buy into the propaganda, whether it's Hollywood and a movie about Chris Kyle or a story about, you know, the Saudis are coming to visit the president. Do they even report on that? I don't even know. But
hey, y'all want to see a funny movie, go watch Zero Dark Thirty sometime and try to contain your laughter.
Anyways, I've kind of veered off the path here a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and run down just some headlines for everybody that I haven't really seen making their way like they should have, and I think this is all very important for people to know, going back to the truth and the information. Edward Snowden has come out and said, guess what? Hillary Clinton's email server is a massive problem. And if it was anyone else, that they would have been gone a long time ago. But, you know, that's Edward Snowden talking, not some right-wing Fox News conspiracy. Says Hillary Clinton's email server is a huge, huge, huge problem. And he says that it's been seen by anybody and everybody if they wanted to. Said it wasn't as secure as she thought, and there's a major issue. Also, this to me is a good story out of a bad story.
Yeah, we need some good news. We haven't had much good news lately on the big show.
Iceland, God bless people in Iceland.
Man, Iceland's awesome, dude. I want to move there.
I'm telling you.
You ever seen pictures of that place? That place is phenomenal.
It's beautiful,
man.
And they're the ones that put the bankers in jail,
and
too.
New York.
They stuck both middle fingers up at the EU on that one. But over 11,000 Icelanders have volunteered to take in Syrian refugees into their homes. That's just amazing to me that we're talking about people that wants to bring in people into their houses. The refugees, we're talking about people don't want, you know, you can't come over here. You're from Mexico. You can't come over here.
So wait a minute. They're not going to build a big wall up around Iceland?
No, it's the opposite. People want to bring people.
Imagine that.
Compassion. That's it. 11,000 people. So, you know, keep doing what you're doing, Iceland.
Yeah, those people are screwed. All that compassion, all of that care and love that they're giving to fellow human beings. That's great. And don't call us from unknown numbers, by the way. Just going to throw that out there.
But another story that's really interesting, and we won't get into this deep, but over 60,000 antelopes died in 4 days, maybe around Kazakhstan area. But, you know, nobody really knows why. I wish I could tell you why, but to be honest, I don't. But that's definitely something to go look up. It's definitely creepy, but, you know, hopefully, you know, maybe there'll be a reason for it. But so far right now, just 60,000 antelopes fell
that's
dead.
That's crazy. I believe that's half of the herd that lives in Kazakhstan. I know it's a very, very large number of their herd. Just suddenly just dropped like flies over the course of 4 days. That's huge.
It is. And David Clinton Petraeus, David Petraeus, he is advocating that, you know, Al-Qaeda.
Al-Qaeda, terror.
No, not to David Petraeus. He's saying that they're okay now. And we should use Al Qaeda to help defeat ISIS. So we're kind of reversing on that. And this is the guy that's
wait a minute.
Head
we
of the
CIA. Spent all of those billions of dollars fighting Al Qaeda.
When
now,
he was
now we're just suddenly going to be friends with them.
Yeah, he's good with that.
Well, they already have all of that weaponry that we've given him so long ago. So
he's definitely good with that.
Not to spend a lot of money arming him.
Anyway, we've got a few minutes here. Let's take one more call for the evening. Area code 317. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Huh? Sorry about that.
Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
I'm calling from Indiana.
Fantastic. What's on your mind?
Just seeing what you guys are talking about. Just curious. Like, I heard about the new people, like, who are just killing, just trying to get in Hungary and all that, Turkey, Germany, trying to escape the life, bad life in, like, Iraq, if I remember right.
You're talking about the refugees, Mike?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a wild situation right now. We just got to discuss some people in Iceland that are willing to bring them in. There's over 11,000 people that have offered to have Syrian refugees come to their homes. There's a story out of Germany that's just really creepy, is they're pulling people off of trains and writing numbers on them to document them, which It's more of a historical kind of, this is weird because, you know, Germany's done that before.
It sounds more like, sort of like the Holocaust, where people try to run away from it, but they can't because they keep on getting killed off.
Right, and that's the thing. Is
well, and they also there's some of them don't have anywhere to go. They're going to the borders of the borders of some of these other countries and being turned away. And I mean, you know, what do you do? I mean, how can you do that to somebody?
And these families are seeking asylum in these other nations, and you have people that are saying, well, "I don't want you coming to my country."
Well, you know, and Brother Manny talks all the time about what's going on in Central America and Mexico. And again, we're seeing a lot of the people that are coming up from south of the border, very similar situations, taking up jobs in America that nobody here in America
wants to do anymore. It is similar, but I have to say that right now what's going on over there is just...
Oh, it's way worse. Yeah. Well, apples and oranges.
Definitely. I mean, people are fighting for, you know, within days, hours, minutes of their lives over there right now.
Yeah.
And how anybody can turn any of those people away, I have absolutely, you know, no idea how you could do that. But
I mean, what chamber of your heart do you have to dig into?
And the scary thing
is, turn somebody away like that and say, no, you can't come here. This is our land. We're not including anybody else. We're not bringing anybody else in. This is it. We have enough people. We have enough people occupying our land. They all know our language. They're all the same color as us. This is it. This is as far as we go. You can just turn right back around and go to that hellhole you came from.
That's just gonna move by. Like, what are we doing? They've got cigarettes.
We've talked about Canada on a few occasions. We don't want Canada. Iceland's what we got. Those folks haven't figured out.
It's expensive to live over there.
You know, bankers come in and ruin their economy. What do? Instead of giving them a few billion dollars and a bunch of nice bonuses and payouts, they put them in jail for stealing money, which is exactly what happened here in America.
Which is what happened in a lot of places. But, yeah, as far as the refugee crisis, which is going on really across the world right now, people need to open up their minds, they need to open up their hearts, and they need to think a second and realize if that was them, or that was their families, and they needed, you know, somewhere to take their family to be protected, and you were standing on a border, and they said, no, we don't want you to come in here, what would your perception be? And yeah, it's people in these countries that are, you know, quote-unquote safe havens, and we're not having the problems that these other nations are having. These more, you know, westernized nations aren't dealing with these situations. They stick their nose up in there and be like, well, deal with it, suck it up. That's not the way the human race should act. That's not the way the human race should be. It's land, okay? These lines on these countries, I'm going to give you a little secret here. These lines, they're invisible. You know? These are things that people drew on a map. So, you know, if there's a wall or a fence or a guard, you know, if they weren't there, it would just be a piece of land. And the person could walk across that piece of land and be away from the turmoil that they're in. But because, you know, there's these man-made constructs on these quote-unquote borders, well, we can't have that. We can't let this person over this invisible line because they want to live. They want to protect their family. This is my invisible line. This is my invisible line.
I got to ask one question real quick. Why is American blood more valuable than anybody else?
It's not even that. It's the UK. It's Germany. It's all over right now. But I tell you what, thank you so much for joining us on Anti-Media Radio tonight. Join me, your host, S.M. Gibson, back on Tuesday with Shannon Madden, our producer, and Nick will be back with you on Monday. Anti-Media Radio out.
Show some compassion, please.
I'ma let them know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.